Hello, and welcome to the Sapona Road Church podcast. Today is a great day. It's the day that the Lord has made, and we are excited that you've taken time to join with us as we hear from God's Word. We exist as a church to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hope that today's message encourages and blesses you and helps you to grow and mature in your walk and relationship with Him. The word of the Lord is powerful and life-changing, so let's see our lives transformed as we listen to today's message.
Galatians chapter 3, and this is verse 26 and 27. It says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And then 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3, starting in verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." So, Father, we just thank You for Your presence in this place today. What an amazing time of worship. God, I just ask that You bless this message and You bless the hearts of all of us in here to receive from You today. God, we just lift up Your name, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, since I'm on a roll of talking about weird stuff, my message today has got a weird title. My message today is Popeye Problems. And we talked last week about sonship and how it's so important, and it's the foundation for everything we build upon. And I was thinking about that this week, and started thinking about problems we face in the church, problems we face as Christians, as trying to live a life with a relationship with the Lord. And we're just like Popeye, is the problem most of us face. And if you've ever watched the cartoon, I loved Popeye growing up. I still will watch Popeye if it comes on. And I even had my mom buy me canned spinach. I didn't even want her to warm it up in a microwave. I just wanted her to give me a fork and let me eat it, and she wouldn't let me. You could tell by the size of my arms it did not work. I've eaten a lot of spinach. Some things only happen on TV. But the show was almost pretty much the same show every time. A little different settings, a few things different, but it was the same thing. You knew what was going to happen, And that's what happens in our lives as believers. Everybody thinks they're different. You have that teenage syndrome. You know, when teenagers, you try to talk to them about something, they always say, "You just don't understand." And you've been through everything they've been through, but they just say, "You just don't understand." Well, that's the same way in the church. We all go through this. It may look differently in different people's lives, but it's pretty much the same problem. And so in this cartoon, for the kids here that maybe have never watched Popeye, have you watched Popeye before, Lily? You've never seen that guy? You've seen him, but you've never watched the show? Well, this is every Popeye episode right here for you. He's like us. And he has a girlfriend. And her name is Olive Oil. And so we know that that represents the anointing. The olive oil represents the anointing. And so he's walking around just as happy as he can be with his girlfriend, and the enemy shows up to try and take her away. And the enemy is Bluto. And every episode, he takes away olive oil. And that's what the enemy tries to do to us. No matter where you're at or what you're doing, he's trying to find a way to get you to not walk in that anointing of being a son or a daughter of God that we talked about last week. He's trying to take that from you, and most of the time, he's trying to get you to give it up. And so he always somehow gets her. Sometimes he, you know, causes her to get upset with Popeye and just leave, but most of the time she's kicking and screaming while he's taking her away. And Popeye springs into action just like we do. And He makes the mistake, though, of every time he tries to defeat the enemy in his own strength. He tries and he tries and he keeps getting beat down until it reaches a point in the cartoon where Popeye is in the bottom of the ocean, underneath a train car or underneath a big rock. He's somewhere all beat up and he has nowhere else to turn. And he reaches for his can of spinach. And he pops the can open, and we know how Lily doesn't know. We'll keep going in a minute, Lily. So he eats the spinach, and all of a sudden he gets these real strong muscles, and he beats up Bluto, and he almost said Goliath. He beats up Bluto and gets olive oil back. So the thing about it is the spinach was there inside all along. He reaches down for something that was already there and pulls it out. It's what gives him the strength to defeat the enemy, which means he could have defeated the enemy at any time, but he kept trying to do it in his own power. And I've watched the cartoons, and I've often, even especially when I was a kid, why don't he go ahead and eat the spinach? I'd have been eating it every day for breakfast. I would have eaten it at every meal. I wouldn't have walked around being weak like that. But spiritually, I've done it. Days, weeks, months, maybe years straight in a row. And so he pulls the power that was there from within, and when he feeds upon it, he gets strong, and that so the spinach doesn't jump out of his chest and go hit Bluto on the head and bring back olive oil for him. No, he has to consume it, and then through Popeye, the power that was already inside of him works through him and defeats the enemy. And see, that's what God does with us. We have the power inside of us that raised Jesus from the dead. But most of the time, we don't access it. We keep trying to live a stricter life. We keep trying to do better, like Jill talked about. We keep trying to strive instead of letting that power that's inside of us work through us and let us live and lead a life of victory. And then what Popeye does is after... Because he makes this mistake, but he goes, he gets strong, and he goes and he beats up Bluto and he gets olive oil back. And then you know what he does? He's ready to worship a little bit. He starts singing this little catchy tune at the end of every episode. And at the end of the episode, he starts saying that, I am what I am. You know the song if you've seen the cartoon. I am what I am, that's all that I am. He keeps saying, I am, over and over. And we know that when Moses was going to go to the children of Israel, he said, Lord, who am I going to tell them sent me? And he says, tell them I am sent you. So in a way, Popeye is singing this. He's found his identity, that this strength was in him all along and that he can walk in victory and defeat any enemy that comes upon him. And he sings this song of praise about who he is or who's inside of him. And we do that same thing. We hit rock bottom. We got nowhere else to turn, so we say, God, I got to have your help or I'm not going to make it through this. The power was in there all along. We just didn't access it. But we get to this place and we say, God, I need you. And God comes through time and time again. And then we say, man, prayer works. The word works. Thank you, Lord. We sing this song of praise, maybe like we never have before. Unfortunately, we're still just like Popeye. Because if you tune in the next day at the same time, guess what he's going to do? The same thing all over again. And many of us, even after experiencing an amazing spiritual victory, an amazing breakthrough in a life of worship and praise or whatever it is, the very next time the enemy comes and tries to take your anointing, you're going to do it all over again. You're going to try to operate in your own strength. You're going to try and get the victory all on your own until you hit rock bottom again. What if we were to stop the cycle? What if we were to actually believe that we're sons and daughters of God? What if we were to actually believe that God has saved us? See, a lot of people out there, they claim to be saved, but they don't live like it. And so then you want to ask them the question with the way that they're living, you're going to say, well, if you're so convinced you're saved, how saved do you think you are? Because by the way people live, there must be different levels of being saved because it doesn't make sense. See, we need to realize that we're sons and daughters. And that's the first step in being transformed by the renewing of your mind, of realizing who you are in Christ. And we talk a lot about changing the way we think and seeing things differently, but what if the key to everything is already inside of you? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is finding my identity the real key to all of this that I've been struggling with? Is finding my identity and accepting the fact that I'm saved and believing that I'm a favored son of God, is that the key to me living life in victory, to me living life more abundantly? Is that the key to me living in revival and experiencing the miraculous in my life and not just having to hear about it in someone else's? And so I'm going to ramble a little more today, I guess, and try to get us to first believe that we're saved. We need to believe that we're saved. Well, first we need to be saved, then we need to believe it. And also in knowing how that can affect other things in our lives with God. And so first let me go ahead and say this. When we get saved, we do not lose the ability to sin. Is there anybody in here that you've never committed a sin since you accepted Christ? Good, you all tell the truth. No, you do not lose the ability to sin. Some people think you do. Some people act like they do. They are that way. Some people think that when they get saved, they're never even going to be tempted to make another mistake. And they're sadly disappointed when the enemy comes against them. But that's not how it works. A couple weeks ago, several got to go to a conference with me, and Bill Johnson was there talking, and he did a great job with his message. But I've read a few of his books, and here's a quote from one of his books. When we get saved, we don't lose the ability to sin, but we do lose the ability to enjoy sin. Now, that hits on different levels depending on the way you look at things, but I've experienced that in my life. And I've seen a lot of people in the church. Do you know that sometimes the church, if you want to find miserable people, just go to church sometimes? There's some of the most miserable people at church, even though it's not supposed to be that way. Well, why are they so miserable? Because they've accepted Christ as Savior, but they won't go after God. And since after a while of just hanging around the church, you either got to go after God or you got to go back to what you used to do. So if they go back to what they used to do, they're not going to be happy because they've accepted Christ. And so now sin's no longer fun. And if they stay here, they're miserable. There's only one way to get happy. All of us want happiness and joy. Go after God with all that you are. And whatever way that looks like, whatever way that's going to pan out for you. If you stay in the same place, you'll be miserable. If you go back to where you used to be, you'll be even more miserable. It's all about going after God. It's the way, there is no retreat in the kingdom of God. It's all about moving forward because there's always more. But I experienced this in my own life. So I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell you a pretty transparent story. I was raised in church, gave my parents a fit for about three and a half years. And I think I told you about Dad calling the cops on me. I don't remember if I did or not. But I gave my heart to the Lord at 21. And I jumped into that striving thing Jill was talking about. I was trying to do everything just right because I'd made a lot of mistakes. I'd done a lot of things wrong that I knew I shouldn't have been doing. So I needed to make up for that. Well, anytime you try to serve the Lord in your own power like Popeye, you're going to get tired and beat down. And so it didn't take long. I was tired and beat down, and so I was in that miserable condition. I was at church every week, but I was miserable. And I started thinking of, you know what? I think I might want to go hang out with my old buddies. I had a lot of fun doing that. And so I called one of them, and I even swung by the house he was renting. And I said, it was a Friday, I said, what are y'all doing tonight? I don't know. I thought about hanging out with y'all. What do you mean hanging out with us? You're a church boy. You ain't supposed to be around here. I said, no, I'm serious. I'm going to hang out with you. I'm just kind of tired. And he said, well, you're just going to ride around with us or are you going to go drinking with us? I said, no, I'm going to go drinking with you. I'm all in. I'm going. So he gets on the phone and starts calling everybody. You ain't going to believe this. Aaron's going out with us tonight. So they all show up ready to party. And I can't remember. We went to a couple of different houses. We didn't go anywhere crazy. But believe it or not, they still didn't buy my booze. I had to buy my own. You would think if they were that excited, they would have bought them for me. But they didn't. So I bought a bottle of what used to be my favorite drink. And I went out with them. Because, see, I was saved, but when you're saved, you don't lose the ability to sin. And so I go out with them, and I had a good time. I really like trash talking. And so I'm having a good time talking junk with all the guys, and everybody said, "I can't believe you're here, man. It's so good to have you back," and all this stuff. But I didn't have a bad time. But something was different. I really wasn't having a good time. Now, before, this would have been the perfect night. I would have just been going crazy, aggravating people and getting loud and all those other things I used to do. And so I wake up the next morning, and, you know, I stayed out probably with them to 2 or 3. Go home. I get up the next morning, and I see that bottle sitting there on the counter. And I'm just kind of thinking, it was weird. I was like, I poured it out to throw it in the trash, and I thought for a second, I knew I would never go back out with them again, because I knew that was no longer me. It's like, I didn't have a bad time. Everything was set up that I should have had a really good time, but I didn't. I no longer enjoyed it like I did. Now, here was the problem. I still didn't know who I was. I was still kind of a miserable Christian. I didn't know who I was in Christ. I didn't know where I fit in the body. I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. I didn't know any of those things, but now I knew who I was not. So I didn't know who I was, but I just knew I was no longer that guy. And I'm not recommending anybody go do anything crazy like that at all. And I'm not going to say it was a good thing. It didn't show me who I was, but it did reveal to me who I wasn't. And I was so... See, a lot of people, what happens is they do the same thing like I did. They do something in that, something like that, depending on what your past is or what your situation you're in. And they'll make some kind of mistake like that, and then they'll listen to the lie of the enemy, because he's going to tell you, see, you were never saved. A saved person would never do anything like that. I told you it was all in your head. I told you it was all emotional. Well, think about me. I was so excited about not being that guy anymore, I didn't listen to anything he had to say. I just was like, I need to figure out who I am. I know who I'm not. And that's probably a place that a lot of people are. And so what you need to realize is that when you're in Christ, the Father looks at you just like He looks at Jesus. That's not an invitation for you to go out and have a free license to sin and act crazy and do things that are going to affect your life in a negative way forever. It's an invitation for you to go after God. He looks at you. He looks at you like He looks at Jesus. And see, it's amazing when we realize who we really are in God. But so many of us, we look back over the stories of our lives, and I wish I would have never done that. But it doesn't bother me to share it. It doesn't bother me to look back over it, because when you look back over your life, it's easy to start, you know, thinking about all the bad things that you've done or the mistakes that you've made. And it can make you question who we are in God. But when God writes our story, He writes it from His perspective, which takes repentance into account. And we have to do the same thing. I may have done those things, but that's not who I am anymore. In Hebrews 11, verse 11, it says this: "It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep His promise." Now, I don't know if you've ever read Genesis 18, but if you haven't, go back and go read it sometime this week. This story in Genesis 18, this is not what I read in Genesis 18. This is not how I remember it happening. When I read the story, I remember that it says that Sarah laughed at the idea. It doesn't say she was full of faith and said, "Oh, let it be, Lord, and I declare this and that." No, she laughed. And then when she was asked about laughing, she lied about laughing. Not only was she full of doubt, she was a liar. That doesn't sound like faith to me. But here in Hebrews, we see how God remembers it. And He remembers it this way because of repentance. And see, that's why it is, I don't have a problem thinking about things in the past, because I remember repentance. And see, it's dangerous anytime any of us try to revisit our past apart from the blood of Christ. Because the blood of Jesus changes everything. And if you visit your past apart from the blood of Christ, then you're opening yourself up to a spirit of deception. That's when the enemy comes in with those little lies that should just go right off of us, but they don't, because we're thinking, maybe I'm not saved. Maybe this happened, or maybe it wasn't real. Maybe all that stuff. So when you visit your past apart from the blood of Christ, you will allow your past to cause you to be deceived and to doubt who we are as saved sons and daughters of God. In Romans 8, verse 38, it says, "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love." Now, if you notice in this scripture, it references things present. It says our fears for today, and it references things to come. It says our worries about tomorrow. So there's the present and the future's taken care of, but the past isn't mentioned. See, I believe it's because when we become new creatures in Christ, our past no longer exists. Now, you may have a hard time believing that, but the blood of Jesus changes everything. And now, it could be, some people might believe this way, that the past is not mentioned because it does have the power to separate. Now, it doesn't have the power to separate you from the love of God, because the Scripture just told us nothing can separate you from the love of God. So it doesn't have the power to do that. But if we don't realize that we're saved and that we're forgiven, and if we keep holding on to the past apart from the blood of Christ, then it can separate us from our awareness of the love of God. It's there, we're just living like it's not. See, our past could keep us from living in the abundance that God has for us. If we accept Christ, God says we're forgiven. God says we're new creatures. And see, the enemy wants to keep bringing up the past and get us to question what God has said and question who we are. But we need to see past his tactics. We need to realize he's gonna be Bluto. He's gonna keep trying to take that anointing away from you. And we need to realize that we're forgiven, so that we can begin to treat ourselves that way. And you won't just treat yourself that way. If you'll finally believe you're forgiven and treat yourself that way, maybe you can start treating other people that way too. Maybe the church can actually be full of happy people that encourage each other instead of miserable people trying to judge someone so they can make sure they're more miserable than they are. That's the only enjoyment they get, finding somebody in worse shape than they are. We don't need to be that way. See, when we truly see ourselves as forgiven, then we can start to see other people as forgiven. And then we treat them differently. We'll treat them differently. We'll treat them differently because we'll see them the way God does, just like he saw Sarah. I didn't see her that way. It surprises me to read it in Hebrews every time, but that's how God sees her. See, all encouragement is stopping to read what God is writing in the heart of each person that he puts in front of us. Most of the time, we don't look for it. Most of the time, we don't stop. Most of the time, we're not looking for it. We're all guilty of it. But what if we begin to change that and started intentionally seeing people the way God sees them? See, it's about being confident in our Savior and who we are in the family of God. It's about loving and honoring others. And when we realize that we're really saved, I mean, you really believe it, then we can become the family of God we've been called to be. Loving people without an agenda, treating people based on their identity and based on their destiny instead of based on their history. It changes everything. We'll get to a place where we're not competing with one another, but we actually are completing one another as a family the way it's supposed to be. Realizing that our identity is in who called us, not in what we've been called to do. Have you ever been around people and they're comparing their callings? It's crazy. It doesn't matter. The people who are called to pastor small churches don't like the guys who pastor big churches. The guys who pastor big churches think the guys who pastor small churches are lazy. The guys who pastor the big churches and the small churches, they all hate the guy who's on TV. Do what God's called you to do. God called us. Our identity is not in what he's called us to do. It's in the fact that the God of all creation has called you and he's called me. Sometimes we get so caught up trying to do what we've been called to do, we forget to be who he called us to be. See, what you do is not what makes you who you are, but who you are makes you do what you do. We talked about that last week. We are saved and forgiven children of God. And when we focus on that, God will do amazing things through us. The enemy knows that. That's why he's always trying to get us to doubt it. That's why he doesn't want us to walk in that anointing of being a son or a daughter. He doesn't want us to truly become what we've been supposed to be all along. He doesn't want us to have that sonship authority operate in our lives. He wants us operating in the orphan spirit in the church. Now, I said orphan spirit. I'm not talking about anyone that may be in the position of an orphan. I'm talking about spiritual things. But I don't know if you've thought about it, but the first orphan, as far as that goes, was Satan. It was Lucifer. He's kicked out of heaven, disowned by God. He's the first orphan. And ever since then, his assignment has been to spread that orphan spirit. And he spread it all, not just all through the world, but all through the church. That's why there is so much comparison and fighting in the church. Everybody's worried that there won't be enough. Worried that if God blesses you, he might not bless me. That's not... A true son or daughter doesn't think that way. I'm happy for every blessing you get because my dad's big enough to take care of me too. And that's the way it's supposed to be. But Satan wants nothing more than to keep us from being sons and daughters. But Jesus came to change all of that. He restored us to the Father. See, the orphan spirit will kill, but sonship brings life. And so I want to encourage each one in here today, be a son. Even the ladies, be a son. If we can be a bride, y'all can be a son. Be a son and be what God's called you to be. Something happens when we realize that we're sons and daughters and when we get others to realize it in their lives. See, when we realize that we're true sons and daughters, then we begin to realize our true identity. And then when we realize our true identity, then we begin to understand our value and how much we actually mean to God and to His kingdom. And when we understand our value, then we begin to dream. And when we begin to dream, we begin to actually experience the miraculous life we're supposed to have. And then when we dream and we experience the miraculous, it causes other people to notice the great things that God is doing in our lives. And then that hunger starts to grow, like we talked about last week. Hunger is contagious. It starts to grow inside of them, and they start asking, they start seeking and asking to know this same God. And then it just keeps going and going with everyone that they come in contact with. We're meant to be sons and daughters. We're meant to be family. Heather and I, there's several questions that we answer the same way. I know one of them we talked about in a message. You know, everybody want to know what revival looks like, and Heather says it looks like family. A lot of people want to know what heaven looks like. We got the same answer. We believe heaven looks like family. If God wanted anything different, we wouldn't call Him Father. Now, we're going to be shocked and amazed and all those different things, but at the same time, it's going to look like family in some way. And see, there are many people out there that they not only have a hard time seeing themselves as sons and daughters, they have a hard time with how they see God. They don't see God as a loving Father the way that they should. They see Him as this powerful God with mood swings, and He's just looking for a good opportunity to kill somebody. Or to punish somebody for something that they do. And they think that Jesus is like the go-between protecting us from this real mean, angry God. It's crazy, but that's the way a lot of people think. I was talking with one of my cousins, I don't know how many years back, maybe 10 years on that too. And when you start preaching, people start wanting to talk Bible stuff to you, even when they don't know what they're talking about. But a lot of times you're scared to answer because that'll be the one time you don't know what you're talking about. So I usually just let them talk, and I'll look it up later. But he was just rambling, and he was talking about crazy stuff going on in the world, and it's only gotten worse. They said, "You know what, man? We need that God from the Old Testament to show up. We need that God that kills people. There's a lot of stupid people out there. He needs to start killing some of these fools." I said, well, I couldn't say I was in disagreement because there are some crazy people out there, but I just let him talk because that's how he sees God. And I'm thinking, no wonder you don't think it's important to go to church. No wonder you don't think it's important to have a relationship with God. No wonder you think you've done all you need to do to be an example for your kids by sending them to Christian school, and that's all you're going to do. Because that's how you see God. And if you see God that way, then it just makes sense. But see, our God is a loving Father. And He actually is in a good mood. He's not caught by surprise by anything that's going on. He has everything in control, and we're His children. And just like any good father, He's crazy about us. I know a lot of good dads, and every one of them are crazy over their kids. He's the same way, because He's the perfect Father. And we need to realize that there may be billions of people in the world, but there's only one me and there's only one you. He's crazy about us. He has amazing things for us if we'll just walk in them, if we'll just realize who we are as favored sons and daughters of God. Stop trying to do everything in of yourself. Stop losing the battle to the enemy and allowing him to take your anointing, but start realizing that the power is already inside of you. Begin to feed yourself on the Word of God and the knowledge of who you are in Christ, and watch how that you get stronger and stronger and can walk in victory no matter what circumstance you face. See, we get in church a lot of times, we just really what we do is we try to live a better life. And unfortunately, what happens to people is they take on a bunch of responsibility. But see, really living for God, or really living to allowing God to live through you, like I said last week, is the key to all of it. When was the last time we just stopped thinking about all of our responsibilities and start living a life in response to His ability? How much would things change? How much easier would those responsibilities begin to take care of themselves? God would still be working through you. You'd still be accomplishing great things for the kingdom, but imagine where your focus and where your mind and where your heart would be able to go with the Father if you just focused on His ability, responded to that instead of just focusing on your responsibilities is what you think it takes to be a good Christian. Again, it's not an excuse or a free pass to go live like the devil. You're not going to be happy if you do that anyway, so why would you do it? Your only happiness is going to come by going further with God if you're really saved. Nobody last week raised their hand to be saved, so I'm assuming you're saved, or I guess you don't want to be. But so if you're already saved, you need to quit thinking about going back. You might as well move forward and focus in on everything that He has for you. Allow that power to work through you and walk in the victory that He has. But I just want to pray a prayer over all of us that have been struggling with these Popeye problems. We've been going through this cycle of repeating it over and over again. And I just want to tell you one more time, you're not going to be happy going back. Can you go back? Yes. Do you still have the ability to do some of those things that you probably shouldn't be doing? Yes, but you're not going to enjoy them. So you might as well go forward with God. You might as well let those things go that are holding you back and start running the race that He has set for you to run. And so, Father, I just pray over every person in this place today, God. I thank You for Your presence. I thank You for Your love. I thank You for Your mercy, God. Lord, I just give You honor and glory. I pray that each and every one of us, God, would quit going through this repeated cycle of giving up our anointing, Lord. Lord, that we would realize that we are sons and daughters, God, and that we can walk in that authority, we can walk in that anointing no matter what we face. God, we just repent right now for all the times, maybe days, weeks, months, even years of trying to do it on our own. Trying to stay anointed by our flesh, trying to stay anointed by our works, trying to stay anointed by striving, God. We thank You, Lord, that You are just so good to us that when we do hit rock bottom, You always come and rescue us. God, we give You praise and we give You honor and glory for every single moment, because You've never let us down. God, I pray that we would just begin to walk in the authority of who we are, never to repeat that cycle, God, and being ready to witness to others to help them break this cycle that's happened so many times in the church, God. Lord, it's all about You. It's all about Your ability. It's all about Your authority, God. And Lord, we just give You honor and glory and praise. I pray that those that are under a heavy burden today or a heavy spirit, God, that it would be lifted, Lord, as they begin to realize who they are in Christ, and God, as they begin to feed upon Your Word, Lord, and they begin to be transformed by the renewing of their mind. Lord, help us to give You glory for it all, God, and to never revisit our past apart from the blood of Christ. Lord, I thank You, God, that all shame has been broken off, all guilt is gone, Lord, and that we're new creatures in Christ. We're sons and daughters. We're justified. God, we're sealed. And God, we give you the honor and the glory and praise for it all. And God, we just release healing and deliverance and salvation over every home here, whatever the need may be, God. We thank you for divine health and strength. We thank you for everything that Jesus provided on the cross. And we give you honor and glory, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We are so happy that you joined us today. If you are interested in learning about or giving to this ministry, you can find more information at SaponaRoadChurch.com. If you are local to the Fayetteville, North Carolina area, our meeting times are 10:45 a.m. Sunday mornings and 7 o'clock p.m. Wednesdays for our Connect groups. From all of us here at Sapona Road Church, we hope that you have a great day as you walk in the Lord's favor and blessing.